muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nordic Waterproofing Q2 2018 conference call. Today, I'm pleased to present CEO Martin Ellis and CFO Jonas Olin. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Happy to have you listening. Thank you for your time and attention. We are happy to announce good results for our second quarter 2018. If you look at our page two in the presentation, you can see that our sales have increased by 22% over the same period last year. 16 of that is acquisitions, and it really means we are continuing our active and selective acquisition policy successfully. We also had 2% organic growth in local currency, in basically stable markets, stable demand situation, and we benefited from the weaker SEK in terms of the currency effect of 4% translation effect from our operations outside Sweden. EBITDA has increased also quite nicely by close to 22% over last year, and it's actually the best EBITDA quarter ever we've had at Nordic Waterproofing, even slightly higher than 2016, when we had a very favorable cost situation. The operating profit, EBIT, amounts to 79 million SEK against 72 million last year, also a significant increase. Our ROCE target, which is the key financial performance measure we have, is at 15.2%, slightly lower than last year because of a portfolio mix effect, basically, but above our long-term threshold of 15%. Operating cash flow has been at 41 million SEK, significantly better than last year, and earnings per share amount to 2.43 SEK, again, ahead of last year, of course. Moving on to our footprint, the key thing I would like to mention is that you can see there's quite a few green points, which are new operations since I would say the end of 2016, basically, over the last one and a half years. That's all the acquisitions we've made. Again, I would like to emphasize that we are happy with all of our acquisitions. Performance in all of the new companies is at least as good as we expected when we made the acquisitions. So that's very important. I think it confirms that we should continue our acquisition policy along the terms we've set in terms of being selective, usually trying to buy on a one-on-one negotiation basis, companies which we know already, and as much as possible, where management stays on, of course, and also has some form of financial interest in the acquired company. In terms of the sales by country, we have the 2017 figures here, so there will be slight changes when we integrate the latest acquisitions, but you can see there's still a good balance between the four Nordic countries, basically. In terms of the portfolio structure, we haven't changed. That hasn't changed significantly either. We still have about one-third of our business in contracting and in what we call installation services here, and the two-thirds in industrial activities. In terms of renovation, that's still about 60%, so a predominant share of what we sell, and that obviously adds to stability in the demand we are serving. Moving on to page four, we are happy to present Vectec, which is our latest acquisition, which you've probably heard about. Vectec is a leading company in the Nordics in terms of green roofs and green surfaces in general. The reason we've made this acquisition is that we see a very good operational fit with our waterproofing business, but even maybe more important, we want to benefit from one of the mega trends, which is towards environmentally efficient building solutions. And the recent weather events, I would say, confirm that there's going to be increased demand for surfaces which are able to retain water when there's heavy rain. And we've seen throughout Europe that that phenomenon seems to be increasing right now. So Vectec is a very good player in that respect. They have a turnover of 125 million SEK, 45 employees, and they're already established in most of the Nordic countries, but we plan to increase that presence and try to help with our network in countries where Vectec is developing outside of Sweden. The sales will and results will be consolidated starting this quarter three of the year. We have acquired 83% so far, and we are in principle planning to acquire the remaining minority shares as and when that is possible. On the next page, you just have a link which you can click from our website if you want to do that, and that's a short video describing what Vectec is all about. Moving on to page 6, I'll ask Jonas to take us through the financial second quarter report.
Thank you, Martin. As you said, once again, we have a quarter with strong sales, 736 million compared to 603 last year. We see the growth being driven by catch-up effects in Sweden, up 19%, following the cold and winter weather during the first quarter. And Denmark also very strong due to the acquisitions of Torsinge and Ugilt, but also strong organic growth in Denmark. Norway shows 51% increase, out of which RVT accounts for 47%. Due to the weaker SEK once again, there is a positive effect with the Norwegian krona. So in local currency, there is a slight decrease in the business in Norway. We see good growth in EBITDA and EBIT, and of course EBIT is still affected by the amortizations of the order book and customer relationships, primarily connected to Torsinge, Ugilt and RVT. And just to remind you all that the order book is now fully amortized in Torsinge and also in Ugilt. RVT will remain one more quarter to be amortized. Moving on to slide 7, looking at our growth again. Acquisitions account for 16%. The organic growth in total was 2%, but I would actually like to point out, which is probably even more important, that the products and solutions segment increased by 6% organically, which is a very strong number in our business. The installation services decreased 8% organically at the same time, and that is due to the deliberate and selective approach towards more profitable projects and, of course, the successful execution thereof. Moving to slide 8, the sales of 736 million transforms to 2.4 billion SEK on a rolling 12-month basis, which is up 10% compared to 2017 at the running speed at the moment. EBITDA follows this at 271 million SEK, which is up 9% compared to 2007 full year number. Items affecting comparability are, as we have seen the last 2 years, only related to acquisition and the competition case in Denmark, but primarily the acquisition costs in the period of 3 million SEK in total. If we look at slide 9, we see the segment products and solutions. Sales 565 million compared to 430 million in the previous year, which is up 31%. EBITDA 89 million compared to 72. And once again, Sweden and Denmark they are both performing very well with the strong sales in the quarter. The prefabricated elements business continue to develop very well, and there we see a strong order intake in both Denmark and Norway. We have been implementing price increases by the end of the first quarter, and we are now also implementing a second price increase for this year, and that is to address the recent further bitumen price increases that we have seen, primarily following the U.S. sanctions towards Iran in May. On slide 10, we see the installation services segment. We see sales decreasing for the first time at 201 million compared to 207 million last year. In Swedish crowns, that is a decline of 3%, but the organic decline was 8%. And that is, as I said previously, due to the more deliberate approach towards the profitable projects. The order book is still higher than last year, but we need to notice that we have a lower order intake due to the same focus as we have had the last half year. However, that also means that we see improved profitability. We see a slight increase in both EBITDA and EBIT of 1 million, so that is promising for the future. The balance sheet we see on slide 11, there is an increase in the intangible assets and also the net debt following the acquisitions of Taasinge, Ogilt, and RVT. A reminder that Vegtech is not yet consolidated at the end of June. That will be done in the beginning of July from the third quarter. That has been financed through an extension of the existing revolving credit facility, an increase of 20 million euros. And we are currently, as Martin said, we have acquired 83%, and we are currently acquiring the remaining minority shares, expected to be finalized during the second half of this year. A dividend was paid by 90 million in the end of April, and in total, that means at the end that our capital employed ended at 1,529 million SEK and an ROCE of 15.2%, sorry. Moving to slide 12, we take a look at the operating cash flow. We have been talking about this previous years, previous quarters. There are temporary variations in the operating cash flow, as you can see. So we have shown that on the right side of this slide. There is a typo, however. It should, of course, say 2018 first half, not the second half, looking at 2018 numbers. So as you might remember, we had a negative cash flow of 61 million in the first quarter. Now we have a positive cash flow of 41 million. Year to date, we are at minus 20 million, and that is in line with previous years. So here you very clearly see what we try to explain after the first quarter, that we have big effects on the operating cash flow depending on weather and Easter. So Martin, I hand over to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonas. So moving on to our financial targets and dividend policy on page 13, there's no change there. So we've demonstrated that sales growth is something we've been able to achieve. Profitability, we are in line with the ROCE target we've set last year. And in terms of the capital structure, we've moved a bit higher towards the 2.5 debt on EBITDA ratio, which we would like to hit in the future. And so we're on our way. We're about halfway towards reaching that goal. And we have a pipeline of potential acquisitions, as we've had in the last quarter. So there might be further acquisitions in the second half of this year, which would probably take us closer to the 2.5 ratio. Our dividend policy, of course, has not changed, and we are going to distribute in excess of 50% of our net income next year. The last slide gives you the outlook statement for 2018. So we confirm that we expect to increase our EBIT before items affecting comparability compared to last year. Previously, we mentioned a slight increase. Obviously, now the year is progressing, so we have a bit more information about what we can expect, and we now expect just an increase. And so this is a sign of a bit more confidence, a bit more information about what we expect to happen in the second half of the year. So this is what we had to present, and we're now very much looking forward to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We've received the first question. It comes from Anders Idborg of ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good morning. So starting just with the input cost versus price realization, which is a bit difficult to track from the outside. So first of all, if you could talk about how that net was in the second quarter in the product business, and secondly, in terms of your hedging for and your price expectations, particularly for bitumen for both the second half of the year and then into 2019, that would be useful.
Yes, thank you. So the situation is that we are back to the historic mean, I would say, the historic norm in terms of our margin, EBITDA margin, let's say, on the flat roofing products. That's probably what you're referring to, our core business. So we're quite, you could say we're quite satisfied with that situation. We are below 2016, you know, you probably remember that 2016 was a positive outlier for us, so we have not reached that level again, and we don't really expect to hit that level in the foreseeable future, but we are in line with the historic average margin percentage. In terms of the bitumen situation, as you rightly mentioned, we've hedged three-quarters of our demand, expected demand for next year, 2019, at a price which right now is relatively favorable compared to the spot prices. And I mean, it's very difficult to predict what the oil price is going to do in the rest of the year. We would, if we had to bet, we would bet it will remain stable from now on, but nobody knows. It's very dependent on geopolitical events rather than the demand and supply situation. So very difficult to predict. But we feel that with the current price level of bitumen and the price increases we've made already and which we are planning to make in the rest of the year, we will be able to hold our margins stable.
Right. And if I understand correctly, then the input cost will be slightly higher in the second half versus the first, but then probably down in the first part of 2019. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct.
Okay, great. And just a second question on the selectivity on projects in Finland. Can you know how big impact or for how long do you think this impact will last? Is this a pretty representative level that we see already now in the second quarter, or is there more to come?
Are you thinking of our sales figures or
yes.
The profitability?
Yes. No, sales.
Yeah. No, I think in sales we are now probably in a stable situation. We have decided to be a bit more selective in terms of the price levels, but I don't see any further restriction in that respect. So I think from now on it will be stable and very much linked to demand.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question. It comes from Janet Tall of Carnegie. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. So I was just wondering how often you change prices more than once in a year. I believe that before you told us that often you sort of correct prices in the spring when the main selling season starts. So now you're correcting prices again. Do you think that your competitors will follow, or is it harder to do in the middle of the selling season, so to say?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And obviously, we would like to have maximum flexibility in our price definition, but there's pushback, of course, from customers, especially the builders' merchants. But nevertheless, the bitumen price change has been, I would say, big enough to justify a second price increase, and we've been successful in most cases at least talking to our customers about it, and we've also seen our competitors following through or even taking the initiative in some cases. So customers recognize that there are percentages of our cost increases which just make a price change necessary. And I would say also in the building material industry in general, you see a lot of price increases in other materials like wood, for example. So customers are sort of in a mood where they understand that there's a general inflation right now in terms of the cost of what they sell.
Okay. And as we move into next year, there are some residential construction is likely to cool off a bit in Sweden after several years of strong growth. We have seen housing starts coming down in Sweden, but also in Denmark. Are you feeling a little bit nervous on the demand side there?
Yeah, the short answer is no, because it's quite a small part of our sales. I think we discussed this item before. Sweden, all in all, Sweden is going to be bigger for us now with Vectec, of course, but before Vectec, Sweden was less than 15% of our total sales, so not a huge impact. And within our sales in Sweden, a big part goes to big boxes. So we are not very much affected by any individual housing economy change. So it's not positive, of course, but the impact for us is very small.
Okay. And then on these fairly new operations you have on these modules that you acquired some time ago, there is a Finnish company called Lehto Group that are in a similar business, and they've had some poor profitability with some projects and so on. How are you feeling on that side? Do you see price pressure on building modules, or do you think it's more company specific from their side?
Yeah, no, again, a very interesting question, and our positioning is quite specific. We do complex projects which are designed specifically for each product, and the competitor you're mentioning and a large number of prefab producers also in Sweden make much more standardized products. So they do individual houses where they just have a few models, for example, or so a very standardized offer. And there you have probably a lot of competitive price pressure, but it's a segment which is quite isolated from what we do. So what we do is high complexity projects where our CAD/CAM capabilities are necessary, and not a lot of players, if any, have our capabilities in that respect. So from that perspective, it's something which doesn't affect us. And we also are not planning to make acquisitions in that more standardized product segment. And what we've seen actually in our business is rather a possibility to increase our sales prices slightly.
Okay, great. And for that specific segment, the exposure to residential construction is fairly low, or is it high?
Yeah, it's. I wouldn't say it's low. It's higher than in our legacy business because you have quite a few renovation projects of collective housing where our products come into play. So I don't have a precise figure, but clearly the residential part is significantly more than in our legacy business.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. At the moment, there are no further questions. I remind you that if you want to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. We've received another question. It comes from Karl Bockfist of ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and good morning. You mentioned strong organic growth in Taasinge, for example. I was wondering if you could specify that. Is that above 10%? Is it above 20%? And can you be a bit more elaborate on what kind of growth rates you are seeing both in Taasinge and in Ugilt and RVT, for example?
Yeah, I think we could probably say it's more than 20%. We don't want to be more specific than that, but it's significant double-digit growth.
No further specifications for the other parts, or is this Taasinge including Ugilt and RVT?
Yeah, that's the consolidated figure.
Okay. Also, we saw here in Norway that you continue to have a sort of low growth here, even though calendar effects should have been quite positive, at least. Can you elaborate on the market dynamics there?
Yeah, in Norway, there is, I would say, unfortunately, there's not much change since last quarter. So, as you know, we lost a big customer now almost 2 years ago, and weren't able to come back to that customer, and we've managed to get two significant new customers, which are large chains of builders merchants, but where it takes quite a while to get introduced to each of the outlets. So it's sort of a general accord we have with the central organization, but then we need to convince each outlet to buy our products, and that's underway, but it's a bit of a lengthy process, I would say. So the builders merchant segment hasn't seen any significant improvement for us. In the flat roofing segments, we've been able to increase our sales compared to last year. So the situation, I would say, overall is stable. So we can't talk about any huge success compared to last year, but the situation is clearly under control from our point of view. We are not losing any significant sales compared to last year.
Okay, and then just a final one, regarding the M&A pipeline. Do you sort of, can you perhaps say which areas you are looking into? You said you were not looking into standardized prefab, or is this more of legacy? Is it green roofing, or is it even further diversification of your business?
Yeah, I would say it's mainly in the prefabricated element area right now. Because there are still companies out there which could be a good fit for us. In the green roof, it's a bit early days. We want to better get to know Vegtech first and see, but we're obviously open to increasing that business area, because we really think it's an area which benefits from environmental trends. And we also have maybe opportunities in contracting and installation services. But again, we do that very carefully and on an opportunistic way, so we're not sure what is going to happen there. But it's also an area where we are quite open to acquisitions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead, speakers.
Okay, well, thank you very much for attending, for interest, and we're looking forward to the next quarter now, and we'll do our best to achieve good results there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.